Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing felt that good in all my life. Yeah, you got to tell nobody.
Where are you going, boy?
But I sure wanted the world to know.
All on now. Look at you.
Why him and daddy treat me like that?
You don't worry about them. Nobody else.
Every night, I lay there waiting for a paper airplane. Yeah, we did something we both needed real bad. Glad.
I need you to be happy because we can't be sad together. You hear me? You are the only person that makes me feel safe.
We can run away. We'll be all right.
I love you too. Papa, you got one of those. You will not move in this life for us.
Man, I love you. Don't go. Don't go!
You are the
that fool
was
still right there for all these years.
You are.
I can't do this.
I love Bayou.
Get yourself together, girl. This family is well off.
Bayou.
Anybody see me in that car, I'm dead.
Please. You got to admit, man. Papa, she wanted me to marry a rich man. She told me if I didn't leave, her daughter's not going to kill you. I thought you moved on.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the incredible Mighty
Boy. How could I do that?
Mom,
I'm going to be for you.
And I'll spend my life.
You think of her. And you sing. Be sure you know what you're doing. The danger is deep, don't please. You're going to have to be like her for no life at all.
What did you do? No. You still want to take me away?
With all my heart.
Send a paper airplane to the
Wow, good evening. That introduction, it make your eyes water. First and foremost, let me let everybody know I'm the host, Randy Jackson, a.k.a. Jay Sean. And what we doing tonight, we doing a movie review. Now, this is new to me. I really don't know how it's going to go. It's going to depend on me and you. If we have listener participation, then it should go well. If not, it'll go well. Because I watched the movie two times, in different scenes several times. And I think I got a good overview or outlook on the movie, A Jazz Man Blues, written by Tyler Perry 27 years ago. Now, first, let me tell you why I decided to do this. First and foremost, I went to college to be a journalist. A lot of people probably don't know that. I'm six classes short from having a bachelor's degree in journalism. Now, I didn't know that a movie critic was actually tied into being a journalist or a freelance journalist or a freelance movie critic. And I checked out the pay. They said the pay was $75,000 a year. That's the average for a movie critic, which isn't that bad when you think about it, when all you got to do is watch movies and then give an overview or oversight of what you think about them. But not just any movie. It has to be a impactful movie. Charismatic movie, a compelling movie, a movie that moves you, a movie with a beginning, with a plot, and with an ending that all coincides together to end like in a big explosion, or not a cliffhanger, but a big explosion, or something to make you could think about it for days and days and days. Now, if anybody calls in, you have to press 1 because it's a movie review. If you're on the link, I mean, you know, I appreciate that too. I always say that. But this really isn't a show for the links. This is really a show for open forum or open discussion. But come with me or whatever. If you decide to listen on the link, that's cool too. If we don't happen to get any listener participation, then I'll just go over the movie myself for the people who are going to listen to it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And then, you know, they might decide to call in. They might decide to call in next week because, I mean, what could be better? A movie review. It's definitely a good thing, and it's definitely different, and I don't really think that I know or anybody out there listening know anybody that's doing it. So let's just say I'm a trendsetter for the moment, which I always been, a trendsetter, not a trend sweater. So look, let me see if I want to start this off with thanks to my business partner, my friend, my brother, graphic designer, friend, and everything to come along with that, because he the one actually gave me the idea to start the podcast off with the trailer of the movie. Well, I asked him, I said, well, what do you think I should start the podcast off with? He said, start it off with the trailer. Like, two heads is better than one. That was perfect. He's on the air. And we're going to kill time and talk until we get a couple of more people. But in the meantime, I did buy some bubbly, some champagne, if I could celebrate with myself, me, myself, and I, the beginning, the takeoff of a pilot podcast. You know, it was something we just filling it out. That's all. We just seeing what happened. It's no failures. It's no letdowns. You know, when you're trying to do things in this world, when you're trying to make a difference, when you're trying to do things that nobody else is trying to do, you're always a winner. You're never a loser because you're doing things that you love to do. And people not going to see your dream. Nobody's going to see your dream. Nobody's going to support your dream like you do. That's number one. So to believe in yourself. And like I said, I'm a journalist, and that ties into a movie critic. But we're going to have a little, did you hear that? We're going to have a little celebration toast for my first movie review podcast as we wait for some more people to call in. If you call in, you have to press 1. You know, that way I could bring you in. You could give me your opinion on the movie, and I'm going to give you my opinion on the movie. First, I would like to say, hell of a movie. Is it really a love story? Or is it a slavery movie? Or is it just another movie about slavery? 4549.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
Who is it?
This is J O S H U A.
Joshua.
Yes.
That's the name of the star in the movie too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the name of the star of the movie. Joshua Boone. He's the one that played Bayou.
Okay.
So, all right. Since you're the first caller of the evening, I gotta really I thank you for calling in. So when did you watch the movie?
I had actually a movie. It came on the movie. It came on. It actually movie. Came on. The movie
Netflix.
Came on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I watched it. The movie was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was. It was a great movie. Tyler Perry,
mm-hmm.
who is one of my is my favorite writer
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the movie. What was really fascinating was that he wrote the movie 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like from doing research, I found out that he kind of said it was like his sweetheart, and he kept it in his back pocket just for when everybody thought that all he had was Madea movies. He said he was mm-hmm. going to come out with this movie. And I think it was right on time.
Mm-hmm.
Dre, you there? Oh, I thought you pressed one.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Was it a love story? Was this a love story to you, Dre?
I think you should take a lot out of it. I think it was about betrayal, loyalty, love, things like that, I think it's more than just a love story.
Yeah, I mean, It's really they called it a forbidden love story. Now I was speaking to somebody earlier, and they told me that they didn't like the movie, or they was disgusted with the movie, because most people liked it, but everybody got their own opinion, and somebody was saying that it kind of disgusted them because it was just another like slavery movie or something like that, because the movie was supposed to be from 1937 or 1940 in Somerville, Georgia, but they filmed it in Savannah, Georgia. But she kind of
I didn't see the slavery part. What part of slavery did they see?
Well, I guess the racial part.
I mean, that's going on right now. Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, I think it was a wholesome movie. It was a real wholesome movie. It didn't have no guns and violence and all that you usually see nowadays. You know, it's good to see, you know, how black people was, you know, back then. A lot of times you forget about things like that, you know, what we've been through.
Yeah, they do. Well, the movie actually was supposed to be like, you got to put that word, a forbidden love story about
right.
a black man falling in love with a black woman who was passing herself off as a white woman in the 1930s or the 1940s. So I don't know if the person that was telling me that felt like it was a slavery because of the time it was filmed in. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's get more into detail about the film. If you're on the line, you have to press 1, and I could bring you into the open discussion. Is it any certain parts that really stood out to you?
I didn't understand how the brother got caught on drugs and knowing what he'd been through. Knowing what his family has been through, and finally got to a certain level in his life, and still didn't see the opportunity that is before him. That bothered me a lot.
Yeah, yo, that ditto. That's what I was gonna say. That's the part. That's the part that really got to me. The part of his the way his brother turned on him. The jealousy of his brother, it kind of reminded me of the Cain and Abel from the Bible, you know, "Am I my brother's keeper?"
Yeah.
I couldn't really understand the jealousy or the hatred or whatever. But you know, that still goes on today.
Yeah.
But the question is, was that propelled from his father, or was that something deep down inside of his brother himself?
He was raised that he was better than his brother. So you see his brother finally on top of him, you know?
Yeah, he was. He was raised to believe that, well, let's say Bayou. That was his name, Bayou.
Yeah.
Joshua Boone, that's his real name, Bayou. He was raised to believe that, you know, he was good for nothing and he was worthless. He couldn't do nothing. But I don't really think that was the point that Tyler Perry was looking for in this movie. I really think he was trying to make this a love story and some kind of way it got the racism got tied up in it. I don't know about how I feel about his brother being hung by a tree at the end. That part kind of, I don't really know, you know, that part kind of got to me a little bit. I kind of thought it could have been a different, you know, a different ending to the movie. But, I mean, it turned out okay. And I guess with him being hung at the end, that kind of gave people the, you know, the slavery point of view of the movie that some people took.
Right.
So maybe he could have did without that part.
Right.
I don't know how he, you know, how else he could have ended it. I don't know. But I'm figuring. That's what I'm figuring. Is it any other way? You got any ideas?
It's sad, but the way that it did in is that the same tree that he was hung on is the same tree that they met on.
Oh, the willow tree, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was sad. That was really sad. Any kind of other angle, I can't really think off the top of my head right now, but I just thought, you know, that was kind of wrong. I think y'all hung. I agree with you.
Yeah, that's it. I want to try something different, and then we're gonna see where we go from here. We're going to play a certain scene from the movie.
You shouldn't be out here. Your grandpa's going to be mad.
You trust about junk ain't mad about this time. But if you want, I can go.
I don't want you to do that.
Why are you coming?
Came to ask to the social.
That's nice, but you won't let me do that. You won't let me be around nobody.
Why come?
He just means like he hates me.
Yeah.
I know it's good. What you can't talk. You can really think.
Thank you. Get it from a mom.
And as I said, you should have sang that song.
My father don't like my singing. You want me to play?
Well, maybe playing is my thing.
Boys down, boy, my name. Everybody call me Bayou.
Why they call you that?
My pa say my eyes deep as Bayou from the time I was born.
Let me see your eyes. Your eyes normal.
Yeah. I was just thinking about something during that. And I was thinking in my mind, what about, like, people say this is a love story, but it's kind of like a drama. A drama, too. And what you think about, if anybody on the line, you want to press one, tap in anytime. What you think about, for the people that's on the line, what you think about if it would have had a happy ending instead of a sad ending. You know, it could have ended happy. And I almost think I hate to try to rewrite somebody else's movie, but I almost think that if the movie would have ended with a happy ending, it would have been just as good as it was. Ending with, you know, with him being hung. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Yeah. This should have gone away. This should have gone away.
It's a what? I didn't hear you.
If they could have gotten away, right, if they would have gotten away together, then they would have killed his family. So he had no choice.
Oh, from what time period?
Yeah, because she was married to the white man. The white man would kill his whole family if he took that baby and took her.
That's another thing. I don't really think that baby was a black baby. I think that was a white baby.
Yeah.
I really don't think so. But let me see. I want to, let me get my outlook on this. I want to say it's more of a drama, but I won't say that. I'll give it a love story. I think Tyler Perry was being more like an introvert in this movie. I'm trying to figure out about the ending, whether it should have been more of a love story or the way it ended. I can't figure that out. Anyway, I love the paper planes.
Yeah.
I love the scenes at the willow tree. I love the fact that he was able to make it to Chicago and sing at the big club. I can't remember which one it was. The jealousy from his brother and the hatred from his brother, I can't put a finger on that. Maybe it was a light-skinned, dark-skinned thing. Maybe it was a different father thing. Because I heard their real father say something about calling Bayou father, like, worthless and lazy or something like that. The worst part of the movie, I would have to say, is when his brother told the white people about him, and that he was in town, and you know he was gonna be there for a while. The deceitful, the jealousy, the envy, the larceny of that whole scene or that whole part of the movie was really a little bit much. And it only really was a little bit much because, like, shit like that still happening today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Brothers and sisters. Like, he really touched on some realism with that. Because you think about it, his own brother, other than Bucket, what was her name, Leanne Bucket, other than her mother, Ethel, lying on his own brother, turned him in so he could be killed. And that part sticks out a lot. While I'm talking, I'm trying to figure out if I kind of left out anything that I wanted to say.
What do you feel about another thing I wanted to mention? The transformation of his mother from when her husband left her up until her opening her own bar, I found that being very inspiring. Because,
it was.
You know, her husband left her for nothing. He took the life savings. You know what I'm saying? So to see her doing all her things, you know, without her son helping her or anything like that, she did that on her own. You know what I'm saying? So I really applaud her real quick.
That was the, yeah, we can't leave without saying something about that. That part of the movie was good. It was good to show that, you know, the strength of a single mother and to let people know that, you know, women were still, were, you know, doing their own thing even back then. That was really a good part of the movie. To show that. That is a good point that you touched on right there.
So to wrap it up, at the end, to give it to one of the 5 stars, Jake, how many stars did you give it?
1 to 5, let's do 1 to 10.
Well, make sure 5 stars is the top.
Oh, 5 stars. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
5 stars. I would give it 4.5 stars.
Okay.
I would give it
based on what? As far as like originality, storyline,
based on the storyline, based on the creativity, it was very artistically written. It was just an all around good movie. Like I said, the only problem I got with it was, what about if he would have made the ending, you know, a happy ending instead of a sad ending? That's the only gripe I got with the movie is the ending.
Okay.
So I give it a 4.5.
Okay. I would give it a 5. And that's only
you
because
give it 5?
I like, yeah, I give it a 5 because I like seeing older movies like that. I was mad. At the end of the movie, I was upset. And I feel like
I remember you called me.
Yeah. So I feel like if a movie could really affect your nerves like that, then you did something. You know what I'm saying? So I have to give you a 5. Yeah.
That's the best you could give it. So you don't really see anything he could have or should have did different.
I mean, you should only make something better. Oh. You only do something better. You always tweak something, you know? But as far as what I saw and the effect it had on me, I gotta give it 5.
That's real. Let's go. I want to go to another clip. I want to go to another clip that I had seen, that I had heard earlier. It's a Jasmine Blues recap and ending explained. I want us to hear that.
Stargate, a 24/7 channel, exclusively on Pluto TV.
What's through the Stargate?
By Liam were teenagers when they met and fell in love. They'd wanted to run away together, but before this could happen, Liam was taken away by her mother to Boston. Bayou spends years writing to her, but none of his letters reach Liam. Eventually, however, they meet each other again, but this time, the situation is a lot direr than it was before. Now, Liam is passing as a white person and is married to the man who is to be the mayor of the town, which is racist, through and through. While Liam feels trapped in a marriage that she was forced into by her mother, seeing Bayou again gives her hope. However, their reunion is short-lived when Liam's mother wrongfully accuses Bayou of whistling at Liam. This angers the white men of the town, and they decide to make Bayou pay for it. Before they can kill him, he runs away to Chicago. A Jasmine's Blues ending. Why does Willie Earl betray Bayou? From the beginning of the film, we find a strong sibling rivalry between Willie Earl and Bayou, with a major part of it exhibited by the older sibling. Bayou is treated as an outcast within his family, and his father favors Willie Earl, mainly because he learned to play the trumpet quicker. While Bayou has a beautiful voice, he could never do what his father wanted, while Willie Earl dedicated himself to the man. When their father leaves for Chicago, Willie Earl doesn't bat an eye before following him, even though he is told not to. Sheltered by his father, Willie Earl grew up believing that he was better than Bayou in every aspect. While he was good at playing trumpet, his talent didn't make him stand out. Still, much like his father, Willie Earl was delusional about his abilities. He had big dreams, and he might even have achieved them, but he was simply not dedicated enough for it, unlike Bayou. It was Willie Earl's plan to go to Chicago and become a successful musician. He spends years in the city, to no avail. When he crosses paths with Ira, he thinks he might finally have it all. But then circumstances lead to Bayou accompanying them on the trip, which is where everything starts to go south for Willie Earl. Ira knew that Willie Earl needed something more if he wanted to make it as a musician. The spark that he lacked, Ira finds in Bayou. When the time comes to audition, it is Bayou who stays and actually auditions, as opposed to Willie Earl who leaves when the first trouble comes along the way. Still, Ira gets the gig for both brothers, tagged along with the actual deal that is signed by Bayou. As his younger brother flourishes, Willie Earl's career starts to go downhill. He gets hooked on drugs, which further affects his work ethic. As Bayou finds more success, Willie Earl becomes jealous of him. He starts resenting him for taking away what should have been rightfully his. He was the one who followed after their father and spent all that time in Chicago trying to make it. But here was Bayou, who had things served to him on a silver platter and took everything away that Willie Earl had worked for. The final straw for Willie Earl arrives when he is fired. He doesn't stop to think that his addiction and the problems that he created at the workplace might have something to do with it. Instead, he blames it all on Bayou and he wants him to pay for it. It is when Bayou decides to go back home that his older brother finds his opportunity. Everyone knew how dangerous it was for Bayou to be there. But Bayou reckons that Leanne's husband and his brother would probably not remember him because enough time had passed. Once back in town, Willie Earl goes straight to the sheriff and not only reminds him about Bayou but also tells him exactly where to find his brother. This leads the mob to descend on Bayou and kill him. Is Jonathan Bayou's son. Leanne had never wanted to marry John. She was forced to do it by her mother, who believed that marrying a white man from a well-off family would secure her future. When she saw Bayou again, Leanne was reminded of her first love and indulged in an extramarital affair that eventually proved lethal to Bayou. In this short reunion, Leanne ended up getting pregnant. Before she could tell Bayou about it, he was forced to run away to Chicago to save his life. Fortunately for Leanne, her son was born with skin light enough to pass off as white, so no one ever suspected that he was not her husband John's son. Years later, when Bayou returns, Leanne becomes hopeful again. This time, she hopes that she'll finally get to be with the man she actually loves. But all her hopes and dreams are shattered when Bayou is killed by the mob that had been out for him since her mother's accusation. With him gone, Leanne has no other option but to return to her life and go on about it as usual. Her son, Jonathan, grows up as a white person, never knowing who his father really was. Following in the footsteps of his predecessors, he runs for becoming mayor. His speeches reflect his racist nature. And finally, Hattie Mee, Bayou's mother, decides that it's time to reveal the truth to him. She visits his office, asking him to look into a murder that happened more than 4 decades ago. Jonathan is clearly not interested in handling a case that happened before he was born and is connected to the death of a black man. Still, Hattie Mee leaves behind Bayou's letters for Jonathan. He is about to throw them into a corner when he reads his mother's name on them. It is through the letters that he finds out about Leanne and Bayou. In the end, we discover that Leanne is still alive. She is very old now, but her memories are not withered. She lights up when Jonathan brings her Bayou's letters, and her reaction is enough for him to confirm what he had suspected. John wasn't his real father, it was Bayou. His mother had kept this secret hidden her entire life because she knew that once it came out, both she and her son would be killed. Now, Jonathan, who had recently vowed on television to push the white supremacist agenda of his predecessors, reconsiders his identity and entire existence.
Thanks for watching, and if you are new to our channel...
Yo, I guess that's how I should have been summed up the movie. They summed that one up, didn't they? They did a good job with that. You still here, Dre?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you hear the review?
Okay. I actually didn't catch that part, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I heard some shit I didn't catch either.
Why?
That was deep. Big time. What we gonna do is I think we about wrapped it up for that movie. I'm not gonna beat this horse. We got people on the line, but they really not I don't know why people scared to conversate with me. It's not that hard, but 4549, Joshua.
Yeah.
I give you I thank you for calling in.
Okay.
I might figure out another movie and do another review next week. I gotta see what kind of feedback I get. And I don't know what I gotta converse with Dre and see what other movie I could come up with.
Oh, cause you should actually, you should go and you should actually go and see the movie The Woman it's called The Woman The Woman The Woman The Woman King with Viola Davis and
Woman
and
King,
actually,
Do I know you?
You might know me from our Facebook.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember. Some kind of way I've talked to you before. I don't remember how or where, but.
Because
but look,
I
you
think
should call
you know,
it. Huh?
I think that you know I think you actually you know my I think you know my I think you actually you know my mother Edith Edith. The time is, she used to work at Head Start.
I think, I know, some kind of way I talked to you before. I don't remember. Wait 1 second. Oh, no, that's somebody was texting me, said they was trying to call in. But they must have had a problem. But look, yeah, anyway, we got another podcast on Friday night. Call in, it's at 8 o'clock if you're not doing anything. Dre, you know, thank you. You always bailing me out. Well, I'm bailing you out. We always bailing each other out. One way or other, you know, we always on our entrepreneur things, mm-hmm. and trying different things, but trying to get people to participate is like pulling teeth. Now if we was up here talking about sex and just crazy, nasty stuff, you know, and people want to listen or participate most of the time. But you know what they say, a winner never quits and a quitter never wins. And that's our motto. So I'll think of another movie. And I could do a better job, too. And we'll be right back here next week trying to review another movie. We always got to remember that in this world, you just got to do your best. That's all. You just do your best. And that's what I do.
Especially thanks to Netflix and Tyler Perry. And if you guys ain't really get to see a movie, please go check that movie out. It's a great movie. And you will enjoy it. It's a movie.
What's the movie?
You know, that movie just good. It got me good.
Oh, you sound blurry. What is it?
Oh, Jazz Blues. The one we just saw. The one we just talked about.
Oh, it's Jasmine Blues.
Yeah, I was telling people, if they ain't see it, go check it out, you know?
It's on Netflix. If you ain't see it, it's on Netflix, A Jasmine Blues. If you haven't seen it, it's been on Netflix for about a month, running strong. It's really a great movie. That's why I came up with this idea, you know, to do a review.
And you know what, Jay? You know what, Jay? It's still so good. I mean, my kids are not here, but I can imagine, like, if my kids were here, I wouldn't have to... You know, don't look. Close your eyes. You ain't got to do all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, your kids can watch it. The whole family. Grandma can watch it. You know what I'm saying? The whole family can watch it. And that's it. That's why I give it a 5. So it's for anybody, you know?
No, that's real. It is. It really was a great movie. That's where I came up with this idea. I got to watch this movie called... Four Women, Four Colored Women, or something like that. Somebody told me to watch. So I got to look into that.
Yeah.
I got to look into that Four Colored Women and see how that one is and watch that. But look, I'm a sign out. Thank you, Dre. The people that was on the line. My man Joshua to just call in, and everybody that's out there on the link. We'll be back here next Tuesday reviewing another movie, and I'll be doing a better job. And don't forget, tomorrow night we got Let's Talk About It. I mean, yeah, Let's Talk About It podcast at 7. Friday, we got the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean podcast. this week we got DJ Ray Boogie on Saturday at 6:30 instead of Thursday. Then Sunday we got Point of Impact. And then Monday we got Dre supposed to be coming back with his podcast, Humble Life Experience, Mondays at 8:30. And we'll be back full circle. Till then, you know, thank everybody. It's a Tuesday night, and everybody got to get up tomorrow and go to work and do what you do. It's still early. It's only, well, we still almost went to 9. I didn't even know I almost went to 9. I thought I was ending it early. But we still almost made it to 9. We still almost made it to 9 o'clock. It's supposed to be a one-hour show. We still almost made it to 9. That's a good thing for everybody that was here. So we're gonna end this right now with the trailer.
That was our first kiss. Enough to feel that good in all my life.
Stay tuned.
Yes, we got to tell nobody.
Where you going, boy?
Next trailer.
The world enough.
Next review.
Oh yeah. I wish I could see.
Tuesday.
Why didn't Daddy treat me like that? You don't worry about them. Nobody else.
Every night, I lay there waiting for a paper airplane. Yeah, we did something we both needed real bad.
I need you to be happy because we can't be sad together. You hear me? You are the only person that makes me feel safe.
We can run away. We'll be all right.
I love you too. My mother, she's coming to get me. You will not ruin this life for us.
Leanne, I love you. Don't go. Don't go!
You are so
still around there for all these years.
You are.
I love
Bayou.
Get yourself together, girl. This family is well off.
Bayou.
Anybody see me in that calm day?
Please. You gotta be here. She wanted me to marry a rich man. She told me she wasn't me for her to look at her children. I thought you could move with ours.
Ladies and gentlemen, the incredible
Mighty Boy.
My heart, only big for you. And open my
eyes. You think of her. What
did you say? Be sure you know what you're doing, lady.
The danger team, now please.
You have to do out there for no life at all.
What did you do?
No. You still want to take me away?
With all my heart.
Send a paper, I am.